is a presentation of WYM, Westminster Youth Ministry. God has given us emotions. The way that we feel comes out through these emotions. This can be a good thing. However, oftentimes, our emotions can lead us to say and do things that we don't put much thought to. In this study called I've Got This Feeling, Emotion in the Bible, we are going to spend this semester looking at different types of emotion and seeing how the world views those emotions and what is the biblical view. We hope you enjoy.
Open us in prayer. We're going to jump on in here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time that we can come together and look at how we can handle our emotions in a biblical and God-honoring way. We ask that as we look at how we handle grief and sorrow tonight, Lord, that you would help us to do as the Bible tells us to do, is to grieve in a certain way, which is different than the way that the world grieves. And we'll look at more of that tonight. So we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So I want to read a quote from C.S. Lewis to you. And it's from the book, A Grief Observed. It's the book that he wrote after his wife died. And this is what he says. And he's talking about the grief that he felt, the same grief that we can feel when we experience some kind of loss. He says, "No one ever told me that grief felt so much like fear. I'm not really afraid, but the sensation is like being afraid. It's that same fluttering in my stomach. It's a restlessness. I keep yawning and I keep swallowing. And at other times it feels like I'm mildly concussed. There's sort of an invisible blanket between the world and me. And I find it hard to take in what anybody says. Or perhaps it's just hard to want to take it in. I find it so uninteresting, yet I want others to know everything that's going on, yet I don't want to talk about it. I dread the moments when my house is empty, but I want people to be there, if only they wouldn't talk to me while they're there." So grief, pain, and sorrow are very complex emotions, wouldn't you say? They are, because we often don't only feel grief. There's usually some other emotions that accompany our grief and our sorrow. We'll get a little bit more into that in just a little bit. But what I want us to look at tonight is grief and sorrow must be understood in light of the hope that we have in Jesus. Because if we separate those two, then our grief is just something that's always going to be painful to us. Grief is always going to be painful. But if we look towards the hope that we have in Jesus, then it helps us better understand it and better navigate that grief. As always, I'm going to split you all in three groups. Colby, number us off. 1, 2, and 3, go. How about group 3, y'all? All wrapped up? All right. Let's jump back in here, and let's look at just an overall picture of grief, because I think it's good for us to start with defining what we're talking about. We're talking about grief and sorrow. So, my first question for group 1 is, how would you define grief or sorrow?
Mourning or pain.
Okay, mourning, pain.
Loss.
Loss, okay, yeah. Grief is a very real thing, and quite often it comes through just the idea of a loss. It could be a loss of a loved one. It could be a loss of something physical. You could lose a home in a natural disaster, and that could be something you grieve over, okay? It could be as simple as you've lost your favorite pair of shoes, okay? And you grieve over those, right? So grief is a very complex emotion because it covers a wide range of things. What are some other things that we might grieve over?
Loss.
Okay. Loss of a loved one.
Someone in your family or someone close to you not being a believer.
Okay, yeah. That could be something that we grieve over. What was that?
Families
splitting apart, yeah. I've just got a couple of examples here. It can span from the sadness of missing a question on a test. Okay, so sad, right? So awful. It can span to the loss of a loved one. And it can span even to the feeling that a Jewish person might have had in a concentration camp in World War II. It's all different forms of grief and sorrow. It could be losing a child. It could be the pain of broken relationships. It could be not making the team. It could be all sorts of things. It comes in the forms of breakups, natural disasters, miscarriages, funerals, etc., etc. So is all grief the same, though?
No.
That's a question that I think we really need to wrestle with. Why or why not? So the answer is no. Why not?
Everybody's pain is different.
Okay, everybody's pain is different.
People handle grief different ways.
People handle grief very differently. Okay, that's a very good point. Okay, there's different circumstances that necessitate more grief than others, too, right? As we've already stated, this is a very complex emotion. And we would be very wise to show discernment in how we handle our own grief and sorrow, and also the grief and sorrow in others, okay? We handle the grief of someone who got cut from the cheerleading squad very differently than the grief of somebody who's lost a loved one, right? Those are very two different things. We handle those very differently. We approach grief of somebody going through the breakup of a relationship differently than someone who just lost their house to Hurricane Katrina, okay? We show discernment. Why? Why should we do that? Is there like an end-all, be-all statement that, you know, oh, I should no longer grieve over this? Like, we can just share one sentence and then it just handles all grief. Wouldn't that be awesome if that was the case? But it's not that way. Because we're complex individuals, we're all very different, and we handle grief very differently. So, all that being said, we've kind of looked at grief overall, let's look at how some people handle grief in unhealthy ways. So I want you all to think about someone or remember a time when you were experiencing great sorrow. When you're imagining that, I want you to think about these questions, specifically group two. What are some unhealthy ways that we can express our sorrow or grief? Yeah. Anna?
By redirecting it on others.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
Like treating other people in a way, like taking out your pain on others in anger
Okay, so you're taking it out on other people. Yeah, that's a very unhealthy way. What are some other unhealthy ways? Mike said drinking. Asa?
Isolation.
Yeah. A lot of times we just want to be alone when we're grieving, okay? And sometimes that's an okay thing, but not all the time. A lot of times when we isolate ourselves, we're removing ourselves from the comfort of others, we're removing ourselves from community, and we have to be surrounded by community in order to truly get over our grief, because we need the love of one another to do that. Again, it doesn't mean you always have to be around people when you're sad. It's okay to have some me time. We all need that every now and then. But purposeful isolation where you're saying, I just don't want to be around anybody. I just want to sulk. I just want to drown myself in my own sorrow. That's not a good thing. And that's something that we should really be careful of. That should be a red flag in your head when you're going through a grief or sorrow. It's okay to be sad. But if you're purposely pushing yourself away from the people you love, then that can be a very dangerous, dangerous thing. Some other ways that people can express their sorrow in unhealthy ways, they can shut down. They lose interest in things that they used to find great joy in. They may neglect their duties. They may lose appetite. They may have great fatigue. Everybody responds in different ways. So what other kind of emotions can come out in our grief? And this, you kind of touched on this a little bit, Anna. But what other emotions can come out that are very unhealthy for us as we're dealing with our grief?
Anger.
Anger is a huge one, okay? Oftentimes that anger is pointed towards others. Who else can we point our anger towards when we're grieving?
Ourselves.
Yeah. Who else?
God.
Lord, how could you take this person away from me? How could you make me not make the team? How could you make me go through this very difficult thing? It's your fault. So we can blame God for that, and that's anger. Okay, what are some other emotions that can come out? I'll give you a hint. There's a lot of them.
No
way. There's a lot of them. Gideon.
Wait, are we just talking about unhealthy emotions?
Yes, unhealthy. Unhealthy handling of grief. Okay, I've got a list here, but I want to see if you guys can think of any.
Anger.
Fear?
Wow.
Okay, I heard fear.
Anger.
What else?
Sadness.
No, that's... Disgust. Grief. That grief does come out when you're grieving. Yes. Okay. Say what?
Passive aggressiveness.
Yeah. I've got a few listed here. Anxiety, confusion, depression, despair, disappointment, exhaustion, fear, guilt, hopelessness, loneliness, numbness, regret, and relief. In this type of dealing with grief, in this type of handling of sorrow, the unhealthy way, is there any hope to look towards?
Yeah.
No.
No. Why?
Well, he said in the unhealthy, I mean, there is hope to look forward to.
If you find the healthy way, yes. But if we're just sulking in our grief in unhealthy ways, ways that are not good for us, is there hope in that?
Because you're just, like, digging yourself deeper
into
your grief.
Absolutely. Who here oftentimes, you know, I do this all the time where I just, like, start talking, say something I shouldn't, and I just keep talking, and I just keep digging and digging and digging, and I just need to put the shovel down, okay? Sometimes when we're grieving, we really just need to put the shovel down. And we really need to think about, how am I handling this? Am I handling this well? Do I need help handling this? And that's where we're going to get into this last section here, the biblical model for grief. Let's all turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. And I would like a volunteer to read this for me. Before you read that, let me just say, this passage actually has a lot of personal connection to me. This is the passage I preached at my dad's funeral. And it's possibly one of the best explanations of how we can handle our grief. And I hope you can see that in what Paul says. So, Asa, will you read 1 Thessalonians 4:13, 18?
But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as other Jews who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you, by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Okay, so as Paul is trying to encourage these people that have experienced a great loss, he starts with trying to remind them of, and you may or may not get this from the passage, but I wanted us to think about this, that what is the root of our grief? Because I think it's a good place to start there, because when we recognize that, it really helps us look towards the hope that we have. So what is the root of grief? Where does it come from?
Like, why
where's that? Is that what you're asking?
So, like, why is there grief in the world? That's a better question.
Sin.
Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you have sinned and the Lord is punishing you by giving you all this grief. Okay? That's not what that means. What it does mean is grief is the result of what? It's the result of Genesis chapter 3. When the fall happened, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, what happened? Grief, death, anxiety, shame. It all came where? Into the world. And that's why we experience the things that we experience. That's why it's so painful when we lose a loved one. That's why it's so painful when we don't make the grades we want or the teams that we want to be on or whatever kind of hard thing that we go through. That's why that's there, because of sin. Okay? Again, it doesn't mean, you know, Joshua sinned and the Lord's going to cause all this awful things to happen to him because he's trying to teach him a lesson. No. What it does mean is we have to go through these things because we live in a fallen world. Now, if we start there, it gives us hope to look towards because we know what?
Jesus loves us.
What else?
He's coming back.
Okay? And we're going to get to the passage in Revelation that's going to tell us what happens when he comes back. But before we do that, in this passage, again, Paul is speaking to loved ones, and he's saying, first and foremost, you've experienced loss. And it's hard and it's painful. Now, I want you to know that I've been there too. Okay? He's sympathizing with them. Secondly, he's saying, I don't want you to be uninformed in this grief. So what he's saying is, even though you're grieving, I want you to understand this. And what is it? What does he say in group three? They're not to grieve as what?
That you may not grieve as others do who have no hope.
Okay, so why do you think he's saying that to them?
Because we do have hope.
Okay, we do have hope. So if somebody's grieving as they don't have hope, what are they going to do? They're going to handle grief in unhealthy ways. But if we understand the big picture of the gospel, okay, understanding that Jesus died for us, he took on our sins, he has been resurrected, and he's coming again. What does that say about our grief? It has a stopping point, okay? It's not a permanent thing. It may, you know, be prolonged in our life. It may be something we experience for the rest of our lives, but there's a definitive point where we can say, look, I'm going to be with Jesus in heaven, and all this is not going to matter anymore. So that gives me something to look towards. That gives us something to have hope in. This idea that Paul is talking about, he wants us to frame our grief in healthy ways. So what are ways that we can do that? What are ways that we can frame our grief in healthy ways? Group three, but also anybody who wants to answer. We kind of just talked about it, but I want maybe more specific personal applications. Okay, now that we have hope. Somebody else said something?
Could you rephrase it?
Yeah, so we talked about unhealthy ways of handling our grief. Let's talk about healthy ways. Okay, so how can we kind of frame or view the grief that we have and handling it in healthy ways? Does that make more sense?
Okay. Look to the Lord, I guess.
Yeah, okay. We can seek the Lord's wisdom, seek the Lord's help. Talk to people about it, yeah. So a lot of times we want to go in that shame hole. Okay? We just want to sulk in what we're going through. And a lot of times we just need to either talk to somebody, or sometimes, you know what's best? Just having somebody sit with you is awesome. Okay? They don't even have to say anything. They just need to be there for you. Hey, what else? What are some other ways? Think about times where you've experienced a loss. What are things that have been helpful for you?
Family members.
Okay, Gideon.
Read the Bible.
Going to God's Word, yes.
Prayer.
Okay? These are all very basic answers that you all know, but the ones that we need to be reminded of. Now, when we grieve as those who have hope, that doesn't mean that, you know, all of our pain just disappears. That would be awesome if it did, right? If we can just push the Jesus button and it all goes away, right? It's like the easy button at Staples. You push it, that was easy, done. Okay? But we, like I said, grief is something that we might suffer. Even when we have this hope, we still suffer a little bit. But again, Paul is saying, look towards God and trust in him and know that he's good and he loves you. And know that he's coming again, and that will give you something to look towards. Understanding our grief can help us understand and see how God works through our pain. Knowing how Jesus himself experienced great loss gives him a reason to speak into your life. Okay? Jesus lost friends. Okay, Lazarus. What happened when Lazarus died? Jesus wept. Okay? He cried over losing his friends. So he knows what it's like to lose people. In John 11:34-35, he's talking about Lazarus, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. He felt pain. He knows what your pain feels like. He also knows what it's like to go through deeply troubling situations. In Matthew 26:38, he said to his disciples, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." So he's saying, I'm experiencing great sorrow right now, and I want people to be around me. And so he's giving us a picture of what that's like. So let's end with this. Just a few takeaways that I think are actually really, really helpful for us. I'm just going to go through these. One, it's okay to grieve. It's okay. You don't need to feel like, you know, have this shame because you're going through something hard. It's okay to grieve. We all grieve, right? Who's ever grieved over something? We all have. Whether you realize it or not, you've grieved over something. It's a natural thing. Okay. When we lose people, when we lose possessions, when we go through hard things, we experience a loss. And that's okay. But it's not okay to sit there and dwell over and over in that. C.S. Lewis, again in that book, he describes something called the laziness of grief. And I think it's something that we can all maybe sympathize with a little bit. He's talking about that shame hole that we go into when we're really struggling with something and we just want to be alone and we just want to not shower and we just want to not eat. And we just want to like wallow in our own filth and our own sadness. Only as a dog-tired man wants an extra blanket on a cold night, he'd rather lie there shivering than get up and find one. It's easy to see why the lonely become untidy, dirty, and disgusting. And so even in our grief, sometimes we can just, you know, push away everybody else. We can push away the helpful things and, again, wallow in our own just stuff. But it's good for us to grieve in healthy ways. It's okay for us to grieve. We must do those in right ways. Lexi said, talk to somebody about it. That's one of the best things that you can do. Because what happens when you just keep all your grief bottled up inside? It's like a soda bottle, okay? You shake it, it's going to explode, right? Drop a Mentos in there, just go everywhere.
What does the Mentos represent?
I don't know. It's good to talk about our griefs. Even if you don't know how to talk about it, just finding somebody that you trust to talk about it with is a very healthy thing for you. Sometimes we can just bottle it up, and that causes other emotions to come up. Anger, frustration, anxiety, stress, all these things can come out if we just keep it all pent up inside. And we can also isolate ourselves when we do that. So it's good to find people to talk to. It's okay to grieve. Don't be afraid to talk to somebody. And here's one that I think a lot of people get wrong, and I think people are actually trying to be helpful, but they often get it wrong, is when someone else is going through something really hard, you don't have to fix their grief. Okay? Who here, when their friends are sad, they want to cheer them up? We all do, right? Who here has ever tried to cheer up their friend and just made it worse? Sometimes we can just take a shoe off, just, you know, stick our foot in our mouths and say something stupid. We're trying to be helpful. So you don't have to have that magic pill to fix somebody else's grief. You know what you can do? Hey, man, sorry going through that. I want to hang out with you. Let's go grab a soda or something. You don't have to fix someone else's grief. You can just be there for them, okay? Job's friends, what did they do with him for 7 days when he was grieving? Eventually, they messed up. But what did they do? What did they do for 7 days? Y'all remember? They just sat with him for 7 days. Can you imagine how much patience that takes to just go and sit with somebody that's grieving? Oftentimes, people that are grieving just need someone to be there with them. Okay? And it's okay to not say anything. We hate awkward silence, right? I actually really like awkward silence, but I'm weird. But most people hate it. Most people hate it, and they just want to fill that time with something. They want to fill that space with something. I want to fix your grief. But you don't have to, because whose job is that? The Holy Spirit's. Now, is there room for us to encourage and say things that are helpful? Yes. Okay. We point people to Jesus in all things. We always remind them of the hope that we have. That's all good. But don't feel like you always have to fix their grief. Sometimes it just takes time. And lastly, know that our pain is temporary. We talked about this earlier. The hope that we have helps us look towards Jesus, helps us look towards the second coming. And again, Revelations 21:4, I had you all read this verse. It says, there will be a day when he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Grief is something we all experience. But we have the scriptures that tell us how to handle that in healthy ways. So that's my encouragement for y'all tonight. If you're experiencing some type of grief and you need someone to talk to, please let me know. Either I or somebody else. We would love to talk to you about that. If you know somebody that's going through grief and you want to know how to help them, again, please come talk to me. I'd love to be able to walk alongside you in that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray for us, and I have one announcement. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We ask that you would please help us to handle our grief in healthy ways, biblical ways. Lord, as we experience sorrow and loss, we ask that you would help us to look towards you and look towards the hope that we have in Christ coming again. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope this has been helpful for you. Please keep an eye out for more audio coming from WYM.